You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 8 June. We've got Omnia results within the hour. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Petli Radenhuis, Hirenya Capital Advisors. NASDAQ, the worst day down since, I think April of last year. What happened? Almost 5% down. And then Mr. Price, almost 15% higher. I don't know, those results, the market thought they were way better, obviously. We're going to chat with Dr. Greg Klein from Investec. Energy and freight shocks rippling through local supply chains. And then Momentum, consult by Momentum CEO, managing market dips, opportunity or fear. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Cabinet approves write-off for almost 29 billion rand in the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project debt, but no refunds for motorists who paid e-tolls. Business Day, Fitch upgrades South Africa's credit rating on lower debt projections. Friday evening, upgraded from BB- to BB. Still junk, but moving in the right direction. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 2.6%, NASDAQ off 4.7%. The East is all red, Sydney 2.4% down, Tokyo 1.2%, Hong Kong 1.2%, and Tencent off 0.5%. Commodities mostly red, gold futures 4,331, Brent 96.48, that is the green, platinum 1,765, palladium 1,238 rand, 1655, Bitcoin 63,000. Top 40 opening call, red open, 1,070 points, just over 1% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petli Radenhuis, Hirenya Capital Advisors. Petli, appreciate the early morning. As I said in the intro there, NASDAQ, biggest one-day drop since April of last year, over 4% down. And I do note that this was very much a NASDAQ story. I mean, we did see the market broadly lower, but the big numbers were all coming out of the tech stocks. I look at my tech list, Dell, ASML, CrowdStrike, NVIDIA, everything down over 6%. Your thoughts? I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, we've got some big downs here, but I mean, Micron, for example, is a 10 bagger in a year, being down 13%. I don't know, that might just be Friday.
I think you've got the reason. The fact that it's a 10 bagger in a year is exactly it, right? I mean, we have these absolutely massive parabolic moves from stuff that truly is running on thin air. Something I think we've spoken about quite recently as well is that the market rally has been on very narrow breadth, right? So there's a very small number of companies participating in a very crazy, insane rally, which is pushing the broader market higher. So we've got that little bit of unwind happening, right? So the fad is maybe now. I don't want to eat my hat in a week from now and I say, oh, I think this is it, boys. I will say that we are positioned well for this if it if this does turn out to be a couple of weeks of downside. But essentially what we have is a much stronger than expected U.S. jobs report that we saw in May.
Yeah.
So the economy added 172,000 jobs versus a forecast of 85,000, which is kind of triggering this good news is bad news reaction, right? We've seen this before. So higher for longer inflation, potential rate hikes. Now we start seeing that this AI valuation and massive, you know, mega growth tech stocks might be overpriced. So there's a lot of stuff, I think, also that weighs in on it. Also, there was a story that I saw about Google having essentially compressed the amount of processes required and memory required to run an AI model by something like 92%. So all your chip manufacturers and all these sort of open AIs and those guys are suddenly in a bit of trouble, right? Because Google just found a way to do what they do massively more efficient. So it kind of throws this whole narrative around what these AI-driven rally and crazy valuations that we're seeing, if it's really sane, right? So the market really preferring value assets over the sort of mega growth companies, right? And I think that that is something that may well have just begun. Our base expectation is that we probably see a bit more of this in the weeks ahead. We were laughing. One of our team members has gone on holiday and he's like, look, okay, we've got some big calls. So we've got long volatility calls. We've got some S&P 500 and some NASDAQ puts. He's ready to go on holiday. Every time he goes on holiday, the market crashes.
So off he goes and the market tumbles.
4% in a day.
Yep, so okay. Noted. Quick question. Mr. Price, 15% up. I mean, I thought the numbers were so-so, but I suppose it is expectation perhaps more than reality.
Yeah, this is actually exactly it, right? The market doesn't necessarily trade on what is. It's market trades on what is versus what it thought would be, right? Mm-hmm. So normalized earnings were up something like 8%. Mm-hmm. It made a record profit of 6 billion rand. Operating profit, retail sales grew 4.3%. I think the big ticker was the controversial NKD deal for the German value retailer. Mm-hmm. The acquisition closed with forecasts intact, right? So this was a bit of an overhang over the stock, and that has now been removed. And they maintain a very strong dividend payout ratio, which is about 63%. And I think what's happened is that we just have, you know, we've had a, well, TFG and Truist also ran really, really hard, right?
Yeah.
So in the likes where Pick and Pay has been in the doldrums, Spa has been in the doldrums, you know, the food retailers have been looking really poor. The clothing retailers have been doing relatively well. And I think that Mr. Price's position is improving compared to the rest, right? So, like I said, the market is kind of shifting into value mode. Emerging markets are showing a lot of value. Our markets in particular showing a lot of value. And a company like Mr. Price, very clearly underpriced, if you look at the way that the market reacted to, which was good numbers, not like stutter shoot out the lights numbers, but good, better than the rest, right? So the capital has to flow somewhere.
Yeah, no, take a point, has to go somewhere. And went to Mr. Price, what, some 14.7% higher.
Quickly, could Aiden I has... mention one more thing about the NASDAQ situation?
Sure, sure.
The SpaceX IPO is quite a drain. It's
sucking
right?
so money out, $80 billion.
This is going to be the biggest IPO, bigger than Saudi Aramco, which was
yeah.
in 2019 or 2018. So this will be the biggest one ever, right? And money has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's also potentially one of the drivers here is that money's coming from AI. You know, these very hot fad stocks, the retail sort of investors are pulling their cash out of there. Also, index tracking funds have to immediately include it in, as a very large constituent of the index because of its sheer size. So they've got to shore up liquidity now in for that IPO to buy.
Yeah, and it's a big, 80 billion. It's a big, big number. Perfectly right, Nez, here in your Capital Advisors. Appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Dr. Greg Klein. He's head of portfolio management at Investec. Greg, appreciate the early morning. Manufacturing locally, we're seeing oil prices higher. We're seeing rand weaker. We're seeing all sorts of challenges in terms of logistics, fuel prices. Manufacturing, in many senses, really is the front line to this, and taking the pain. Although maybe different timings, but it is hurting. And the longer it goes on, the more it hurts.
Absolutely. Morning, Simon, and morning to your listeners. I think, you know, manufacturing is certainly at the front line, driving consumer spend ultimately and the price inputs therein. I mean, what we've seen is that we've come through a December, January, where gold price was doing well, platinum group metals price was doing well. There was a lot of optimism in the economy. Load shedding was a thing of the past. Oil prices at $65. We had a little bit of the benefit still coming in from the two-pot system pull down of about 40 billion rand into the economy. And things were looking quite rosy. In fact, the economists were predicting another two further rate cuts of 50 basis points each. You know, you fast forward to today and things have changed somewhat. I mean, the Rand is still doing well, which is a good indicator of support for our economy, along with the ratings upgrades. But, you know, the cost inputs have just gone out of control. You know, oil price is up 40%. Yeah. And when it comes to manufacturing, we're sitting in an economy that we're importing about 1.6 trillion rand worth of raw goods. So if you take that into account, and you know, along with the fuel prices and the difficulty of the supply chain disruptions that we're now seeing, and you know, the cost of getting goods into South Africa, the fuel costs have gone up dramatically. We've seen the cost of sea freight going up to 250%. And air freight up to 600%. Sure. So, you know, all of those cost inputs just together speak to a story where ultimately the consumer is going to have to foot the bill.
100%. And it comes, reading a piece that you wrote, it sort of comes in stages. You know, the fuel costs, I mean, some of it, such as airline, was immediate. The fuel at the pump, well, that arrived in the April update. If you got inventories, as you wear that down and you need to replace, so you might only at this point be taking some of the impact. It's coming in stages, but it is coming. That's the key point, even if it is staggered.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, disposable income is certainly under pressure now. And what we're seeing is that, you know, foot traffic through the doors of retailers, just listening to your previous interview, that retailers are under a bit of pressure. And we're seeing that actual spend, is lower than what was anticipated. So coming off a little bit of a softer December, and what we're seeing is that, you know, from a manufacturing and wholesale position, inventory isn't moving as fast. So we're seeing that the number of imports, the rand value is steady to lower. The number of imports has gone down. But what it means is that, you know, inventory levels aren't being replenished as fast as they were forecast. And so, you know, with sales slowing, we're seeing that suppliers are the orders on suppliers are dropping, and the inventory levels aren't being ordered to the same effect as they were last year. So, you know, the stock turn that we're seeing within our plants certainly has slowed. And so, in order to be ready to service customers, you know, the levels of stock that are being called upon, certainly they're just not moving. So what this means is that with a lower stock turn, you know, even though the top line might be okay, in order to get rid of that stock, stock's being sold at a lower price, and fire sales margins are impacted. And so the headline earnings are dropping, even though the top line is okay. You know, what we're seeing is an economy that certainly is slowing down.
Yeah, I get your point, and I hadn't thought of that. Of course, you still got the revenue coming through, but your costs are up across the board. It's inventories, it's fuel, it's everything is hurting in that regard. We'll leave it there. So to Greg Klein, he's head of portfolio management at Investec. Appreciate the early morning time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Johan Meni, he's Consult by Momentum CEO. Johan, appreciate the early morning time. Volatility, we're talking a lot about it on this particular show today, but it's been, I mean, look, it's been around forever. It's been a rough couple of months in the market. But you it's thinking around it. You made a really good point in a piece you wrote last week that if you've got 100 units of whatever it might be, we tend to focus on the price and the value, but actually, even in the volatility we've seen since the invasion of Iran, you still have those 100 units. The price is moving, but you've still got the same quantum.
Yeah, good morning, Simon, to you and your listeners. It's exactly that. I think, you know, to take another analogy, if you have 100 Kruger Rands in your safe, it's still there. Whatever happens with the gold price, it doesn't have an impact on the number of coins that you have in your safe. And I think people have a look at the underlying value, and then they start to panic and they start to do some stupid things. And I think that just have a look at your units. The units haven't reduced at all. Mm-hmm. So to some extent, if the market recover, which over the last 100 years it always did, your money value will recover.
Yeah, and that's a good point, that it does recover. And we can look back, as you say, over 100 plus years of market. There have been volatility, there have been crashes, there have been crises, there has been everything over that 100 plus years. But markets recover, maybe not smoothly, maybe not quickly, but they always have.
Yes, 100%. But I think that, you know, money is an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
People open their investment account, they see, oh gosh, my million rand went to 870,000. And they want to do something about it. They want to limit their loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are some key things not to do. The first thing is not to panic. I think in any situation, not just with money matters, if you panic, you most probably are not thinking rationally and you're not doing the right thing. So yes, there may be fear of losing more money, but I think just think rationally. And the best thing to do, I always say, is to pick up the phone and phone your financial advisor and just find out, have things fundamentally changed?
Mm.
And he or she will ask you the right questions. Have your situation changed? Have your circumstances changed? Are you in need of the money now? If not, if your plan is still in place and you know exactly what the intention was with your investment, then stay the course. Look at the horizon. It's maybe 3 or 5 or 10 years from now. Just stick the course, and I think everything will be okay.
I like that point, and I like the, has things changed? I mean, one thing that has changed, of course, is my personal budget, because fuel is hurting, and we're going to start seeing that coming through in other areas as well. So my budget is perhaps getting tighter, but that's not the sort of changes we're talking around. We're talking around the long-term planning, the retirement, the what are we saving for? Those are what really matter.
Yes, and I think some other advice, and I think good financial advisors will challenge our listeners to this, is to say, yes, fuel has increased, our mm-hmm. interest rates have just increased,
mm-hmm.
so food prices are going to increase. What can we do as a counter trend in that regard? Sometimes it's often the smart thing to do, we're talking about smart investing, is to really have a good look at your budget. Have a look at the things that you need, that you absolutely need, and what are the luxury things. And then maybe cut that out. And in the market, when stocks are cheap, maybe now's the time to go and invest and buy.
That's actually the other side of the coin. We always, you know, volatility, we always think about how we are poorer. As you mentioned, that million is now 870.
Yes.
We are poorer. The flip side is that what was worth a million is worth 870. There's also a sale that's currently happening, and we tend to sort of ignore that part of it, of the equation.
Yes, and I think consumers are so good when it comes to retail products. You know, when there's a red hanger sale, we're there. Whether we need the T-shirt or not, you know, it's 50% discount, we buy it. We should think the same about money as well.
Yeah, we absolutely should. When something's on sale, we should grab it, particularly if it's a long-term investment. So we'll leave that there. Appreciate the time, Johan Minnie. He is CEO at Consult by Momentum. Appreciate the early morning. And our poll today on LinkedIn is just that. We know not to panic when markets sell off, and it's easy for us to sit here on a chilly Monday morning and talk around that. The question is, do we manage it? Are you managing to avoid the panic as we see a sell-off? You managing to stay calm, you're managing perhaps use it as a buying opportunity. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn. That's it for today. We're chatting with Jimmy Moyaha on Friday. We were talking about the 91 results, asset managers, and particularly, I mean, Coronation as well. We've seen some good numbers come out as markets rise. We asked, does the current market volatility reduce the investment case for these asset managers? And over half said no, they remain a great investment and you're happy with them. A quarter said it certainly adds a bit of risk, and the rest were saying yes, but perhaps only marginally. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nubukle, Nicole Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we will chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.